Good morning. It's good to be together again with family. It's always a pleasure to come to God's house and worship Him. As I thought about what to preach on this morning, my mind went to a situation that happened to me, maybe a month ago. I enjoy going camping. It's one of the few times that I get to sit and think and ponder about life. So I was sitting in my camp chair, relaxing, just taking it easy, thinking about life, pondering. And as I was sitting there, a young man came riding past on his bicycle, coming down the trail. And about the time he got to me, he veered off the trail and took his own course, went out across the grass, ramped a few rocks, and as he went past me, he said this: "I don't know where I'm going, but at least I'm going." And he kept on going, and he came up against a big boulder, and he stopped right there. And I thought, that is so true of people in this world. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going. Do you know where you're going this morning? Brother John taught us last Sunday that we all need a roadmap. We need to pay attention to the roadmap. See, the roadmap's going to help us to get to where we want to go. That's true. Do you know how to read a roadmap? When I was a young person, I had a friend that picked up his girlfriend and was headed to a wedding. He was not paying attention where he was going. He got on the turnpike and he went the wrong way. He had a roadmap. He knew where he was going, but he was not paying attention and he went the wrong way. After an hour's driving, he thought it was about time to get off the turnpike, and he suddenly realized he was nowhere close where he wanted to be. Do you know where you're going this morning? Are you reading your roadmap? See, you can have a roadmap in your hands. We do. We have God's Word. But if we're not looking at our roadmap, we're not going to have a clue where we are. We can have it with us, but we need to read it. Or are you just following the person in front of you? You've seen these bumper stickers that said, "Don't follow me, I'm lost too." But we tend to do that in life. We tend to look around us, and if you make a right, I'll make a right. If you make a left, I'll go left. If you go straight ahead, I'll go straight ahead. We just follow each other. But do you know why you're doing what you're doing? I was thinking about these thoughts this week. Do I know where I'm headed in life? We all are confident we do. We are confident that we know where we're going. We're confident as we ride our bike down the trail. But there's times when we get distracted and we veer off to the right, to the left. We bounce a few rocks. We do a few ramps, and all of a sudden we're stopped because we can't go anymore. Here's the verse I was thinking about this week, and I would like to look at this verse. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. It's a very familiar verse. It's probably a verse that I know I've had devotions on before. But I like this verse because it's so picturesque in my mind. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." It's a verse that I have thought a lot about. A lot of practical teaching in this verse. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." All of us will say, "Well, that's not us. We have life put together. We know where we're going." But you see, temptation comes along, and we veer. We head off course, and we don't go where we want to go. The title of this morning's sermon, I would just like to call it "Dealing with Temptations." Where are we going with life? Are we going to end up right? That's what I'd like to look at this morning. This verse is in the context of temptation. God wants us to remain strong. He's not saying you're going to fall. He just says be careful. For us men that think that we have life put together, we have the answers. Men don't like to admit that they're ever wrong. Men, take heed that you don't fall. Ladies, take heed that you don't fall. Are we experiencing God's power in our life? Or are we just heedlessly just driving along, roadmap in our hand, but not paying any attention, going left, going right, bumping along? How is it with the temptations in our life? I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 10 to get this setting, because this verse comes in the middle of the passage. 1 Corinthians 10, I'd like to read at verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after the evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Let's cease reading there. These verses bring back memories of years ago. At Calvary Mennonite Church here, an evangelist brought us this verse. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." And that was our weekly memory verse. And we kept going over this verse and over this verse. And I remember memorizing this verse. And once you memorize it, you don't forget it. It's a verse that I think all of us should memorize. Put it into our memory. Because at a time of temptation, we need to be able to go back to scriptures. The verses that I just read are bringing out the fact that these people all knew the goodness of God. They were church-going people like you and me this morning. They were good people. The children of Israel were God's chosen people. Verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 talks about that they all did the same thing. They all experienced God's goodness, His blessings on them. They experienced the greatness of going through the Red Sea. They experienced the provisions that Christ did for them, of how that water just gushed out of a rock. They experienced that. They seen the power that God had in their life. They've experienced it. We have experienced it. We all have experienced it. Verse 7, it says, "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them." Just like to refresh your memory of what this is talking about here. It's talking about when Moses was up in the mountain, and they were all sitting there waiting for God to reveal His word to them. It was, maybe we could say, a time of revival, because God came right down and was meeting them. It was so real. God was so close. But we have that they fell. They fell into idolatry. They fell into worshiping the gods that was around them. I had to think in today's practical language. It was a time when the leaders wasn't present. See, Moses was up in the mountain. He said, "We don't know what happened to Moses. We don't know where he is." And it said they fell into idolatry. They began to worship a god. I thought, how could they get to that point so quick? But it was a temptation that came into the life, and they fell for it because they didn't have conviction in their heart. Verse 8, "Neither let us commit fornication, and I have here tempted with women." The situation that the Israelites found themselves of going out and marrying heathen women, that God had straightly forbid that they should ever do. And they made it, it was commonplace. They had the, I believe it was the Midianites. It even got to the point where they were bringing them to a church service, to a worship service. They brought them to the temple for worship. And it so enraged the people. The one man was a godly man, and it enraged him. And he went after him. He smote that man. He killed him. But God brought judgment upon them. And he's saying, don't think you're any different than these people. He's saying, this is right here for our example. Something that we're supposed to learn from. We tend to think, well, we wouldn't do that. But it's in the context that he says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth. If it can happen to God's chosen people, it could happen to me and you this morning. What are we doing to keep it from happening? Verse 9 talks about tempting Christ. Verse 9 says, tempted to complain and doubt God. You remember how the children of Israel said, why did you bring us out here to perish? We don't have no water. We don't have no food. And they complained. And God brought judgment for their complaining spirit. Are we any different? He again says, these are examples that we should learn from. Verse 10. It talks about their murmuring. And you'll remember there was a story where the spies came back from the promised land of Caleb saying, we are more than able to go. With God's help, we are victorious. We can go. And the rest of them were saying, there's just no way. There's giants in the land. We're going to be defeated. There's just no way we can go. And you remember that story. How that they ended up wandering for 40 years till they all died off before God would take them into the promised land. And he says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Every time I read this verse, I have to think about my neighbor. I think about my neighbor because when I can sit on my deck, I'm looking at his farm. And he's got these tall concrete silos that have stood there for the test of time. They stand there. A concrete silo is solid. It's tall. It's been there for years. You think about all the storms that come along and shake that thing. You think all the tornadoes that might have, at least tornado-style winds, that might have come through there and shook that silo, and it's standing there. You think about all the hail that would have hit that thing. The lightning strikes. Standing there, solid. It's a picture of something that is strong, that's non-moving, but unknown to the human eye, that silohood issues. And some of you know the rest of that story. How that what looked good and solid, no one realized it was corroding from the inside out. No one realized that when that silo was built, there wasn't enough of steel put in it. No one knew that. No one even suspected it. From outside, it looked good. There it stood. Until one day, it just decided to fall over. And it fell. Concrete silos don't fall, but that one did. And that's what, to me, this verse is saying, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. It's a warning that we could be like that silo that has weathered the storms of life, standing firm, standing true. But slowly the stresses of life start to eat us from the inside out. Slowly the temptations begin to erode my spiritual strength. No one knows. No one even understands the things that I face. No one understands your temptations. Until all of a sudden, we fall. And we say, well, what happened? I just don't understand how I could yield to that temptation. I just don't understand how that brother could fall. I don't want anyone here this morning to fall. And so that's why I want to think about temptations. Look at some helps. All of us are candidate for failure. If the children of Israel failed, and they were God's chosen people. God did everything for them. If they can fail, we need to be careful because we can fall. What is temptation? We've been talking about temptation this morning. What is temptation? I have here that temptation is to be enticed, incited, or attracted to something wrong or forbidden. That's temptation. The things that God says, do not do this. And Satan brings something to us and tempts us with it. It's a temptation. Temptations will come. You are not immune to not being tempted. All of us, women and men alike, face temptations. We all face different temptations, but we all face common temptations. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. If you're like me, you like to think that your temptation is unique. Only you are the one that faced such a strong temptation. It's hard to imagine that other people face the same temptations. But I think it's a lie that Satan gives us to think that we are unique and that our temptations are different than anyone else, and that no one will ever understand what we're trying to go through, that we're facing. No one would ever understand. And so it's an excuse to keep my temptation, my struggles, the things that I struggle with every day, keep it quiet. Don't tell no one because you're not going to understand anyhow. That's a lie from Satan. Temptation is common to man. God wants us to help each other in our temptations. And that's why we have our brotherhood here. That's why we have Calvary Mennonite Church, that we can be a support to each other so that we can remain strong, so that we can help each other not fall. I want to be able to count on your help. And I want to you to be assured that deacons struggle. The deacons have temptations. And I think that pastors have temptations. And I think bishops have temptations. We're human. All of us have temptations in life. Temptations are overwhelming. I don't know how you find it, but temptations can just overwhelm us, that we just feel like we don't know if we can stand. We're just afraid we're going to fall. But we have the promise here that God is not going to tempt us more than we're able to bear. That's a promise we can cling to, that everything that God brings into our life, He can see us through. And if we yield to temptation, it's my fault. It is never God's fault. If here, where does temptations come from? Turn with me to James chapter 4. Very familiar verses. It's actually James chapter 1. I have a wrong scripture right down. James chapter 1 is what I wanted, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with either evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother. Where does temptation come from in these scriptures? Well, it comes out of my own carnal will. It comes out of my own carnal desires. It comes out from my selfish desires, my passions. Or it might come from my past failures, but it comes out of my own heart. Does God ever bring temptation into your life? These verses say that God will never tempt a person. We like to sometimes blame our temptations that God brought into my life. God does not bring temptation into my life. Often we bring our own temptations. We allow temptations to come into my life. But not always. Temptations have many different forms. We know the story of Job, and there the temptations came from Satan. Satan, seeing a perfect individual, and we like to think that all of our temptations come from Satan. He is the master of deception. He is the master of lies. But when Satan sees an individual that is standing firm and true, he does bring temptation. He does want you to fall. He will come and bring everything. He will throw all kinds of darts at you. That is true. Satan does tempt us. You think of Christ when he was in the wilderness. He faced strong temptation. Where did it come from? It was not his own passions. It was not his own selfish desires, but it came from Satan. Throwing things into his life and saying, here, try this. Here, try that. Just trying to see if he could get Christ to fall. So temptations can come from the devil and the powers of darkness. Temptations, as I've already said, can come from my own selfish desires. Temptations can sometimes come from our own family members. That's startling, but it can. It can come from the very people that's the closest to us. Sometimes temptations can come from ill health. There's many different forms of temptations, but Satan will never let an opportunity slip if he can tempt us. Maybe he'll tempt us with discouragement so that we get down to defeat or despair. Sometimes we're tempted from poverty. Or maybe we're tempted from riches. There's extremes. But no matter where we are in life, be assured you will face temptations. Satan will find things to tempt you with. And how are you going to respond to it? Why does God allow us to face temptations? Some questions I had to think through. Why? Wouldn't it just be nice that once you give your heart to the Lord, that from then on it's just easy going? I mean, God has promised us so much victory. Why do we face temptations? There was some scientists who decided to try an experiment. They wanted to see if life could live inside a bubble. And so they had this big dome or something like that, and they put people in there, and it was a perfect world. Only to discover that the trees they planted, once they got so big, just fell over. Why? Because there was no wind there. There was nothing to test its root systems. It was not strong. There was no root. That's the way it is for me and you as Christians. As we face life, God brings these things into my life to test us, to help us put down our roots, to help us understand who we are, to help us understand our weak spots. Temptations is the storms of life that shake us. You take out Silo. It's the storms, it's the wind that blows. It sees how strong it is. It sees if we'll stand. It's a test. I would like to look at helps for overcoming temptation. We talked about how that we are all face temptation. We know that. We all have our own individual temptations. None of us are exempt from temptation. And we looked at our temptations are often the same. Men face temptations. Ladies face temptations. We all have different areas we're tempted in. But how can we overcome temptations? Turn with me to Psalm 1. It's a very favorite scripture of mine. To think about, as a Christian, what I should be. How can we overcome temptations? By being rooted and grounded. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." He's going to be like a tree. If you're going to be able to overcome temptation, you need to be rooted and grounded in God's word. It's a beautiful picture of a tree that's roots are going down deep, because that's the source of food. That's the source of nourishment. Our roots deep into God's word. If you're not rooted and grounded in God's word, you're going to fall every time. I can offer you no hope. If you are facing severe temptation, you will fall. You can hold up so long on your own. You can, on your own physical goodness, you can get through some temptation, but eventually you're going to fall unless you're rooted and grounded in God's word. Turn with me to Ephesians, the third chapter. It's another verse that talks about being grounded. Ephesians 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded, there we have these words, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Some beautiful verses of what God has promised you. He has promised me. That when we are rooted and grounded in him, he's the one that makes us strong. We don't have to try to do this on our own. So many times temptation comes into my life and I try to fight it on my own. I try to stay strong on my own. But God says, just be rooted and grounded in me. Allow him to make us strong. Second thing that I thought about for overcoming temptation. The first one was being rooted and grounded in God's word. The second one I have is be honest with yourself. So many times we wear a mask. As you looked at that silo, my neighbor's silo, it looked perfect. There was nothing wrong with that silo. But what we did not see was all the corrosion or the decay that was happening inside those walls. I cannot see what's happening in your heart. I cannot see what's happening in your life. Only you know that answer. Only you know what you're struggling with. Be honest with yourself. What is causing your temptation? Sometimes the very things that I struggle with immensely is things that I bring into my own life. What is causing my temptation? Is it my carnality? Is it a secret sin that I have never got out of my life? Do I really want to overcome temptation? Sometimes I have to ask these questions to myself. Do I really want help? Or do I enjoy it? Sometimes we enjoy the pleasures that temptation or that sin brings. Sometimes we really don't care if we live in defeat, as long as no one knows it. And we will struggle and struggle with temptation. We will struggle in our Christian life. Are we being honest with ourselves about the temptation? The third thing that I have is be open. Be open and honest about what I'm being tempted with. Would you be startled if your brother sitting beside you would call you up this week and say, "Brother, I'm struggling with lust today." Or, "I'm struggling with anger toward my spouse." Can we be so open with each other? Can we be so blunt with each other? Or do we have ourselves up on a high pedestal that we cannot admit that we're struggling? Can we be open and honest with each other? Youth, you have parents that you can be open, that you can be honest with. Married couples, we have each other. In our church brotherhood, we have, again, each other. We're here to help each other. That's what life's all about. We're here to help each other find victory. If you are struggling with temptation that you're not getting victory over, find someone to share with. Be open. Be honest about it. Don't hide behind a mask. The fourth way to find victory through temptation is to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. As I thought about this, I know a disciple of Jesus Christ is always true. But somehow I just felt that I had to put that word true in there because we have so many people claiming to be Christians today. But are they true disciples of Jesus Christ? A disciple is somebody that follows somebody. A disciple of Jesus Christ is someone that follows Jesus Christ, follows him in our thoughts, in speech, in action. Most of our temptation goes away if we do that. There's going to be no room for self. We will face temptation that Satan brings to us, but our own carnality will be gone. Again, we can't do it on our own, but we need Jesus Christ in our life. We need Jesus to help us fight temptation. We need to fight temptation the way Jesus did. We talked about when he was in the wilderness, when he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. How did Jesus fight temptation? He fought it with scriptures. He said, "Thus it is written." Again, using your roadmap, looking into God's word, meditating on God's word, and knowing what God says, using scripture. He also commanded Satan to leave. When's the last you have said, "Satan, get thee hence"? This is a temptation from Satan. Just get out of my life, Satan. I'm not doing it. Do we have the power to do that? You do. You can tell Satan to leave, and he'll leave. But do something. Actively try to get away from temptation. If we just passively go along, we'll continue to face temptation and we'll probably fall. The fifth thing I thought about, ways to face temptation, is be a Joseph. In Genesis 39, it talks the story about, and we know the story of how Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar had him doing, he was next to the ruler. He had unlimited access to this house until Potiphar's wife began to lay eyes on him. Now, the verse we just said that God will give us a way to escape. But will with the temptation also may make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it? And the thought that crossed my mind is, do we want to escape the temptations in my life? Or do we enjoy it? Joseph had all the odds against him. If you think your temptations are bad, think about what Joseph faced. He was a normal young man. He had the passions of a young man. He was away from home. He was away from his religion. Who would know? And you could just, again, let your mind just begin to imagine what it would be like to be Joseph. Do you think Joseph left himself dwell with fantasy about Potiphar's wife? No one would know. Do you think he did? You look at his response, and he says, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" We know from Joseph's response that he was not a man of loose morals. Be a Joseph. And he realized, number one, that he couldn't sin against God. Number one, he realized that God seen everything in his life. Number two was flee, get away. God makes a way to escape. If Joseph was secretly entertaining thoughts about Potiphar's wife, he would have said, "Well, I'm caught. I can't leave." But he fled. He got out of there. He left the coat in her hand. Flee. Don't play with temptation, but flee. Turn with me to Colossians 3rd chapter. Again, some wonderful verses about living with God. I'm going to read the first 10. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, and the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Then I wanted to jump to verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I didn't know which verses to leave out, because these are, again, familiar verses that I find a lot of encouragement from, to set my affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. And I had to think, how can you tempt? How can you put temptation in front of a dead person? Can you go out there and find a cat that was killed laying along the road and take her a bowl of milk? Well, she'd be tempted with it. She's dead. It can't tempt a dead thing. Am I so dead to my carnality? Am I dead to the things of this earth that I am not tempted? Or am I alive and that temptation grows and feeds? If I am risen with Christ, a lot of my temptation will be taken care of. It'll give me the power to live victoriously. We're thinking about ways to overcome temptation. And this one is to set your affections on things above. The seventh one I have wrote down is watch and pray. And that's out of Matthew 26:41. We have the scripture. It says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all do have our flesh to work with. Our flesh is weak. Spend time in prayer. That's one way we can find strength every day. The eighth way that I have is to draw near to the Lord every morning for strength throughout today. We never know what a day is going to bring forth. We never know what for temptation is going to come at us. We don't know what kind of stress we're going to face. Start today with God. Meditate on Scripture. Not just because the preacher said so, but because you really want to. Because you find nourishment. You're not reading your Bible just because you just think you should. You'd be better off not. But read your Bible because you want to, because you got a love for God's Word. And you will find nourishment therein. You will find help. You will find strength to face temptation. Another way to face temptation is to focus your thoughts on things above, not on things on this earth. That was the verse out of Colossians. Another way that I have wrote down here is to purpose in your heart that you will be a slave of Christ rather than the temptations of this life. A lot of the temptations are slaves. They're binding. They get into our life and we can't escape them. Are you going to be a slave of Christ or are you going to be a slave of temptations? And the last one that I have is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on the eternal reward. Allow him to fill you with power that you can live every day victorious, that you can be a silo standing there, allowing the test of times to shake you, but you stand. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. How are you facing the temptations in your life this morning? Let's kneel for a word of prayer.